So good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody excited?
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. Everybody gets there, say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand you here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. Father, we thank you for your word, Father. God, as we look into your word, Father, God, open our hearts, our minds to receive what you have for us, Father. God, we just desire so to be what you want us to be, Father. What you've called us, you've chosen, equipped us to be, Father. God, we don't want to come up lacking in anything, Father. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So here's Jesus, and he's teaching a parable. And the parable is about being thankful for what we have instead of being focused on what others have. You know, that's pretty easy to do. When our focus is wrong, we miss God. How many want to find God? Amen. We want our focus to be right. Amen. So when our focus is wrong, why we're going to miss God. We're going to miss what everything that God has for us, we're going to miss it. Hallelujah. I don't want to come up short. Anybody here want to come up short? Hallelujah. Okay, Thursday was Thanksgiving Day. Everybody have a good time? Amen. Eat a lot? Yes. Well, Thursday is gone. Right?
Right.
You might say that ship already sailed. Let's move on. Actually, Thursday was a day set apart to keep the ship on course. Think about it. Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, was a day that was set apart to keep this ship on course. So it should be with each of our lives. You know, that was a national holiday set apart for the nation to be thankful. But what's the nation made up of? People, you and I. And so, you know, we need to be thankful. Amen? A lot of times we think we are, or we are maybe somewhat, but are we really? The title of the message is, Know My Heart. Because out of the heart flows all the issues of life. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Lord knows what's in there. Even when we don't. Like the prophet Jeremiah wrote there. He said, the heart's deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? When 1621, the Plymouth colonists, they celebrated Thanksgiving with the Native American Indians. They was together. The people that had come over, they was not equipped. They were not prepared to live in this country. And so a lot of them starved. They didn't have the knowledge. They didn't have the skills to survive. And so a lot of them had died. But the Indians come alongside and they taught them how to plant crops. They taught them about fishing. They taught them about whatever, tapping maple trees, whatever, you know, picking ginseng or mushrooms or whatever. They taught them. And so they had come together and they was giving thanks. This was the first Thanksgiving day. And so now we celebrate Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November. That's the day that's been set aside as Thanksgiving Day. On Thanksgiving Day, this is what they say. 46 million turkeys was eaten on Thanksgiving. That's a bunch of birds. And that's average weight of 16 pounds each. 46 million turkeys. Plus all the other stuff. Ham, chicken, whatever that other people eat. So, the American Farm Bureau Federation calculates that the average Thanksgiving meal costs about $50. And that's for a family. You know, you might have 6, 8, 10 people, but they figure it costs about $50 or $5 a person for this Thanksgiving meal. And, of course, Thanksgiving meal has, you might say, turkey, stuffing, rolls, sweet potatoes, green peas, fresh cranberries, carrots, potatoes, you know, whatever, pumpkin pie, all the other stuff, you know. We as kids, pumpkin pie was a big thing on Thanksgiving. You had pumpkin pie. And, you know, when we was a little bit older, maybe like teens, the pumpkin pie was cut in quarters. Glory to God. So, anyways, that was Thanksgiving. They estimate that 46.9 million Americans traveled at least 50 miles to reach their Thanksgiving destination last year. That's a lot of travel. Now think about all those people traveling, and that's the ones that was 50 miles or more. Think about all the ones that was just, you know, 5, 10 miles, maybe a couple miles. So that's a lot of people that's traveling. Now, you talk about the hand of God. In all that traffic, just think all the accidents there are. There aren't many accidents for that amount of traffic, traveling, and that's the hand of God. I talked to a man this week, and he told me that this lady had borrowed his truck and deer jumped out. She went off the road, got over in the soft part, and down over a real steep bank, ripped the truck, tore some trees out, ripped the truck all up, and she walked to his place and she said, I wrecked your truck. He said, are you okay? He said, the other's just iron. We can deal with that. She said, well, we need a tractor to pull it out. So they went down, looked at it, and he says, gonna take more than a tractor. And he had two wreckers to get that truck out. And when they came to pull the truck out, the people that run the wrecker, they said, I don't know how it kept from rolling over. It was just like no reason that truck didn't roll over, and you walked out of it. And I said, that was the hand of God. That was the hand of God on that. Hallelujah. But you know, now we've gotten so, we've lost focus. Like so many things, you know, as generations go on, we lose focus. And now, instead of Thanksgiving being a day to celebrate, to give thanks, it's got to be commercialized. And with Black Friday, and now Black Friday is backed up to Thanksgiving, right? Black Friday, and then it's pushed on to Cyber Monday. So this whole time frame is what? Commercialized. So the Thanksgiving traditions have now revolved around shopping and consumerism in general. The National Retail Federation reports 151 million people shop online or in person on Thanksgiving weekend. That's Thursday through Sunday and into Monday. The average shopper spent $320 on holiday purchases over the Thanksgiving weekend last year. That's a lot of money. And so now where's the focus? It's on, I want more. Just like the laborers in the vineyard wasn't satisfied with what they had, but as seen on TV, I want that. You know, I need that. This is the latest. I need this new $1,000 cell phone. I need this new whatever. For what? To bring home to put with my stuff. Or to take down to the storage building because there's no room at home for my stuff. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a national day of thanksgiving and praise. Here's what he said. A day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven. So, Thanksgiving Day is a day when we are to give thanks. We are to focus. We are to acknowledge on El Shaddai, our all-sufficient sustainer, the one who mightily nourishes us, satisfies, protects, and supplies his people. Psalm 6:5. Interesting thing here. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? When we're dead, that's it. While we're alive, it's time to give thanks to God. Anybody here have something to be thankful for? Yeah. If you're here, you have something to be thankful for. Glory to God. You know, as I prepared this message, God just sort of
nudged me, you know, how he does sometimes. He just gets you to focus on certain things. And it was like, you know, Pastor Pat Lyons once said a very interesting thing. He's prophesying over me. And, you know, prophecy, we want to hear the good stuff, right? Amen. We want to hear, oh, man, you're going to go to the nations, you're going to win souls, you're going to heal the sick, you're going to raise the dead, you're going to do this, and great things. Well, Pastor Pat Lyons, he's prophesying, and he said, some things you don't forget, okay? He said, you need to listen to what you're preaching. Glory to God. So, you know, when a pastor's preparing a sermon, it's like God saying, you're first on the list. Right? If you've never been there, you probably don't understand it. You know, I'm first to get this toes stomped on. So anyways, God nudged me to think back over my life. You know, had I really been thankful for things in my life? Or was there some things that I just took for granted? Or was just plain ungrateful for them? Ouch, that hurts. And so, you know, when you stop and think, you would think that you could sum your life up on a postage stamp, right? Just like the cemetery, when you go to the headstone, live, die, dash in between. But when you stop and think, when God walks back through with you and does a little bit of rehearsing, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, at least in, Dad used to say, 70. Anything over that, you're a borrowed time. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, so anyways, so in all those years, there's a lot of things, you know, that I took for granted. A lot of things that I was ungrateful for. And, you know, some things we think we're thankful for, but were we really? And so, as I just want to share just a couple things, because I could just go on and on and on. But anyways, I was born sixth kid in a family of nine. We were all born at home. All nine kids was born at home. There was none of this hospital and none of that stuff, you know. That was when the doctor came to the house. That was back when he still made house calls. Hallelujah. And so, and I was born in a house that my dad had built. Now, my dad was a coal miner. He wasn't a carpenter. He wasn't a builder. He was a coal miner. And he had very little book learning. Very few, I mean, just a couple years of schooling. But he had a lot of common sense. Thank you, Jesus, for the common sense that was instilled. I was born in a family that never knew how to express love. We wasn't a family that hugged. We wasn't a family that, you know, expressed, I love you. That just wasn't part of the family. But we always knew that we was loved. For some reason, we just knew that we was accepted and we were loved. Thank you, Jesus. We always had food on the table. We didn't have refrigerators. We didn't have freezers. A lot of stuff was canned. We had rows of canned vegetables, fruits, meat, canned. Always food on the table. We never went hungry. Had clothes on our back. It might not have been these name brands or anything, but we had clothes on our back. Maybe they was handed down from somebody else. Praise the Lord. Never thought anything about that. Never too proud to accept. And shoes on our feet, probably U.S. kids. $1.99 or something, you know, or work shoes, whatever. We had two sets of clothes. One was for working around the barn. One was, well, actually we had, you might say, three. We had school clothes and we had church clothes. After we started going to church, then we had church clothes. Hallelujah. So, thank you, Jesus. We never considered ourselves poor. That just wasn't part of the program. We didn't see ourselves as poor. It was like, we got everything we need. Why would we see ourselves as poor? And eventually, Mom and Dad got saved and radically changed. There was change. And there should be change. When people get saved, there should be change. And there was change. And did we understand this change? No. And they never had the ability to communicate to us the change that they experienced. And sometimes that's a problem. I know when I got saved, I really didn't communicate to the kids that, hey, this is different. But thank you, Jesus, that, you know, they've done their best to expose us to the Word of God. Church, my mother had us in the Bible, reading the Bible. So they've done their best. Was it perfect? No. But they've done their best. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Some of the seeds that was planted, whether in church, whether through the Word, whatever, they lay dormant for years before they sprouted and come to life. But thank you, Jesus, they didn't rot. They were still there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I had a mother that she tried her best to guard against ungodly influences. I mean, she was mother hen. Man, we didn't have television. We had a radio. And she watched what we heard. If there was a program on, and through the day, she had all Christian radio station on. And in the evening, if there was news or whatever, we didn't listen to it much, just a little bit. But anyways, if there was a commercial that came on that advertised beer or anything, man, she was on that radio like lightning on a hen house. That thing was shut off. Because she didn't want us to hear that junk. And it's like, don't ask me how she knew this, but she knew when it was over and turned it back on. So, thank you, Jesus, for that. Hallelujah. And all the times, you know, of my reckless youth and sinfulness, that God sovereignly kept me from whatever, death, hell, many times when I look back, so close, you know, that I could have been gone. But for the grace of God, the mercy of God, hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. And, you know, as time went on, God brought me a wonderful helpmeet into my life. Glory to God. Not that I deserved it, but God's God. Hallelujah. And so he brought her into my life. And I was totally unprepared for marriage. I had no idea about marriage. Honestly. But she would stay with me through thick and thin. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For the grace. For the next 55 years, I'd be in school. It was called Marriage 101. I'm still there, by the way. Still working on it. I hope I've made a little progress, but thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So all these things, and then we had three wonderful daughters. And I was totally unprepared for how to be a godly father. Very limited resources. And so just floundered through trying to be a father. But you know, thank you, Heavenly Father, for being there when we fall short. And for the day when I surrendered to God, totally to Jesus Christ, totally sold out, never looked back. Thank you, Jesus. For all the people in the body of Christ that would help to shape my life. And for all the people that God has allowed me to share the gospel with. Thank you, Jesus. For this great church right here that God has allowed my wife and I to pastor. Thank you, Jesus. So many things to be thankful for. Thankful to be a citizen of the United States as it stands as one nation under God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's just a little bit of the story of my life. May I always be thankful to Almighty God. Not just one day out of the year. Because if we're waiting for Thanksgiving Day to give thanks to God for things that happen, it won't happen. It'll be forgotten. It'll be whatever. So we need to be thankful every day. Back in 1831, a famous French historian, Alexis de Tocqueville, who traveled the United States, stated, "I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it wasn't there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world of commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power." He said, "America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. The only way we can be good is for our pulpits to continue to be aflame preaching righteousness. And to be like God, for God is good."
Psalms 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Four times in that chapter 136, it states to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. So there's so much in being thankful. Thankfulness is gratefulness, right? Research suggests that individuals who feel grateful experience lower experience, who feel grateful experience lower blood pressure, improved immune functions, recover more quickly from illness, and can effectively cope with stress. Gratitude has one of the strongest links to mental health, more so than even optimism. And the benefits can be lifelong. A sense of gratitude can reduce the lifetime risk for depression, anxiety, and even substance abuse disorders. Cultivating a sense of gratitude involves actively noticing the good things that are occurring in life. In other words, focus on the good things. I believe it says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. I don't know what else. Anyways, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When we focus on those things, we will be thankful. When we acknowledge the good that God is doing. Amen? Hallelujah. Cultivating a sense of gratitude involves actively noticing the good things that are occurring in life. You may say counting your blessings, but it is essentially taking time to acknowledge what is going right for you and your family. Gratefulness, thanksgiving. And God just downloaded this into me as I was preparing this. He said, thanksgiving isn't just about what we say, but how we act about what we're thankful for, or our responding actions to what we are thankful for. It's not just about words, but how do we react to that? How do we respond to being thankful? You know, it's easy to just say something. If we greet somebody, we say, how are you, and keep walking. Was that really a question, or was that just what we do? And so words are easy. And because words are like that, people don't take them seriously. But actions, you know, that's something else. You know, sometimes we have to put some action into our words. Gratitude is born of humility, for it acknowledges the giftedness of the creation and benevolence of the Creator. This recognition gives birth to acts marked by attention and responsibility. Abraham Lincoln in 1863 said, this was back in 1863, we have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. He said, we missed it. We've forgotten God. See, when we're focused on God, we remember the good things. We remember what God's done for us. People who are ungrateful tend to be characterized by an excessive sense of self-importance, arrogance, vanity, and an unquenchable need for admiration and approval. Narcissists
Reject the ties that bind people into relationships of reciprocity. They expect special favors and feel no need to pay back or pay forward. Without empathy, they cannot appreciate an altruistic gift because they cannot identify with the mental state of the gift giver. Narcissism is a spiritual blindness. It is a refusal to acknowledge that one has been the recipient of benefits freely bestowed by others. The lack of gratitude is contagious. I like this line. The lack of gratitude is contagious and is passed from one generation to the next. To put it very bluntly, ungratefulness is sin. So I want you to close your eyes. And just allow God to just speak to you, show you. Maybe you're like me. And today God's saying, remember all the times I've been there for you. The times I've walked with you. Held your hand when there was chaos. Brought you out of death to bring you into life. Psalms 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. There's a quote. I wished I could claim this. I can't. It's not mine. The gates we walk through will determine the way we walk in life. Enter his gates. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It's like God is saying, thanksgiving will open my gates. Will you enter? And after I prepared this message, I was looking at the paper, and there's scriptures for the day, thoughts for the day, memories for the day. And lo and behold, it said that thanksgiving will release heavenly blessings. Thanksgiving. So if you're like me and God's just showing you some of the times that you didn't recognize God or you took it for granted, or just wasn't grateful, I invite you to come. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Just come and let God worship is about giving and receiving. So as you come
and you just get real with God. Expect God to speak to you. So I invite you to come.